and applaud Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, band. We're grateful for that. Well, just before we get into the Word this morning, and looking forward to that, hope you have a Bible and hope you have a bulletin. And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to raise your hand. Our ushers will see that empty hand and put a Bible in your hand. But I've invited a couple people to give testimonies. We've been having some tremendous responses to the Lord and from the Lord because of your prayers, and I'm grateful for that. So I've invited Hanya Glitzen and John Yunt to give a testimony. So let me just allow how the Lord has answered their prayer. So thank you, Hanya. We're going to mic you up. Are you able to handle it? Good. Come on over and just where you can be because you're on live stream, and we're grateful for that.
Yes, thank you, Lord. I want to give really praise to God for my trek these past few months. You may have missed me around here. I certainly have missed you all, and it's so good to stand up here and just see your wonderful faces. And I want to thank the Lord for my healing. It all started off with a torn meniscus, very common. Anybody I talk to, oh, yeah, I had that done. Well, okay, there were two ways they could go with mine, whether the simple cleanup and you're on your feet in a day, or depending on how it looked when he got in there, there is called a repair. And the repair will eventually maybe avoid a knee replacement. I go, sure, let's go for that. He says, I usually do that on very young people. You have to be off your leg for 6 weeks on crutches. And I says, well, yeah, I don't want a knee replacement. If you can do it, let's go for it. But my husband and I prayed and left it up to the Lord that he would decide when he got in there. Well, I got the knee repair. Okay, ever been on crutches for 6 weeks and can't put your foot on the ground? That means two crutches, you can't hold a cup of coffee, you hop, and your hip is up in a position for 6 weeks. It's really difficult. So by the fifth day, I realized something doesn't feel right. I'm just hurting in the wrong areas, kind of down below. So we went in and had to go to emergency. Well, I had developed blood clots in three veins were blocked. Painful, extremely unbearably painful. And I know the church started praying. Meals started coming to the house. We were so loved by this church. And one young woman came. Many were praying, but I had a little picture of the tiniest little bottle brush you could ever think of going through one vein. And I knew God was healing that. And sure enough, after the second ultrasound, one vein was clear. And 2 weeks later, I had another one. And these are very painful procedures when you're in pain already. And people were all saying, doctors and the ultrasound person, this is too soon. You shouldn't be doing them. I go, well, my doctor's taking very good care of me. And 2 weeks after the second one, they were all clear.
Yeah.
Now, normally that takes 2 to 9 months is what I heard. Doctor back there shaking his head, yes. 2 weeks, my doctor couldn't believe it. She just stood there. And she said, I had to read this many times over. I said, this is what you call a miracle.
Yeah.
So we were witnessing all over the office that day. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
It took a little while still for the pain to diminish, but my knee is still needing therapy and some healing, but praise God.
Yeah.
Scripture, you know, I would ask God, Lord, have I sinned? You know, why do I have to go through this? Have I sinned? And I know meniscus is very common, and, you know, these are common to being on earth. We're not in heaven. But Lord said, no, it's for other people. I said, oh, and then I remembered a scripture I memorized as a young girl from John chapter 9, where it talked about, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, who doth sin, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither, but so that my power can be shown through him. And Lord reminded me of that. I thought, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So he is performing miracles. My husband turned into a beautiful servant to me.
There you go, Don.
He would say, you got to start walking. So we have my little center at the end of the bar with everything I could think of that I could possibly need. Thanks, salt, my pills. It goes on and on. My creamer. Move my coffee maker over here. Anyway, praise God. The scripture he gave me this morning from Psalm 18. Oh, I lost it. But that I would be as sure-footed as the deer. Yeah. So thank you and
praise God. Good. Thank you, Hanya. Well done. Thank you, friends. John, come on up here. John Yunt, friends. Thank you, John. You had shared how the Lord had healed you. Why don't you give us that short and sweet?
Oh, it's scary up here. I was having trouble sleeping for many, many months. I would lay down, and then my allergies, I'd get this slimy stuff going down the back of my throat. It would wake me up during the night, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd have to get up and cough, and I just was not sleeping good. And I came up here during the when the small group leaders were up front about either 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I got prayed for. And I've made it through every night since then. I haven't had any trouble falling asleep, and I haven't been waking up in the night. And it's great being able to sleep all night.
Yeah.
God is good.
Thank you, John. Well done. Well, in a minute, we're going to get a chance and just build our faith to pray. But before we do, Ainsley, would you join me? My wife, Ainsley. We wanted to have Ainsley come, and she's going to pray for a couple that's very special to us. And many of you are just now a little bit more familiar. Andre and Caitlin Mansour, we just love them dearly. They're on staff here. They are expecting a child in March, and we are excited that everything's been going good. All of a sudden now, the baby's starting to come a little prematurely. And so they're currently in the hospital. The doctors are doing everything they can to just strengthen dear mama, and so matter of fact, we believe that they're watching from their room, and so we wanted to be praying for the Mansours. Little Evan, that little baby's going to be well and fine. And so you had a chance, and I'm grateful. Thank you. They allowed you to come by, paid a quick visit. So anything you wanted to add to that before you pray?
Just that they are a couple that's filled with faith. They're a couple that know the promises of the Lord. And so they're standing on God's promises. And we were talking about the fact that the Lord is the one that assigns the limits of the seas. He's the one in control of the waters, all the waters of the earth, and even the waters of a woman are in the control and the power of the Lord. And so that's how we were praying, is that God would hold back those waters and that they would not break forth until it's the perfect time for little Evan to be born. We're believing that his lungs will be fully developed, that when he comes into this world, he will be strong and he'll be ready for life outside of the womb. Yes. So no minute before, that's the kind of God we serve that will cause that little boy to stay in Caitlin until he says, this is the time I want this child to be born. So that's how we were praying and continuing to pray.
Well, please lead us in prayer. Thank you, everybody. Okay. We're feeling faithed up, and we love the Mansours.
Yes. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the privilege to pray for those that are dear to us. Lord, we pray right now for Caitlin, and we pray for little Evan, and we pray for Andre, and even little Aaron. We want to thank you that you have this family in your care, and you have Evan in your care, you have Caitlin in your care, and we are praying that in the name of Jesus, that you, Lord, who control the fountain of the deep, the waters of the earth, the waters on the earth, the waters above the earth, and the waters even of birth, Lord, that you are in charge of that. And we are asking, Lord, that you would keep those waters safe and secure. And we're asking that Evan not be born one moment before he is supposed to. We're asking, Lord, that you strengthen that little boy. We're asking, Lord, that his lungs be developed, that his body be developed, and that then and only then that you bring him into this world. Lord, you were able to do that. We want to thank you for it. Thank you for providing every need of this family. We give you thanks and praise. You're a magnificent God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, Christmas is a time of miracles, is it not? So how many would just, with a show of hands, I have a need, or I know somebody with a need. Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm wanting to just see? Yeah, good. Well, I'm excited. One of the needs that were met, we're seeing Karen Prelznick. Good to see you, Karen. We're so glad you're healthy and back with us some weeks away. If you're believing for a miracle and you allow us just to speak the word of faith over you, would you just stand to your feet and say, I'm going to stand and I believe God's going to touch me as well. We're not just talking about one or a few. We're believing for you too. And may you come up here one day soon and say, this is what God's done for me. And if you're unable to stand or you're feeling a little bit nervous about even standing, we'll have our life group leaders after service here praying at the altar. Every way possible to get God the glory in a miraculous way. So we just speak the name of Jesus over this wonderful group that are standing, well over 50, maybe 60. And we believe that in Jesus' name, every need represented here, Lord, you know. Therefore, you're going to do a great work of your grace to bring an impact that would so impress people that they know that they would give their own testimony. It is God, God, Almighty God, who has touched my life and our family and our future. Oh, Lord, bring hope and healing in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Very good, everyone. Thank you. Ainsley, thank you. And I'm going to encourage you while we just encourage ourselves. Let's grab our Bibles in hand. Let's get our bulletins as well. And we are taking a look at the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're glad. What a thrill. What a joy for me always. I just love the Word of God. And I love when the Word of God comes into our hearts individually or collectively, just like we spoke over each other and prayed. Things happen. Lives get transformed, and we're going to take a look at one life today. His name is Joseph. We were together in the scriptures last week looking at Mary, her life, and her song. Today, we're going to take a look at Joseph, and it's in Matthew chapter 1. Today's message is entitled Joseph, the Face in the Background. I don't know what your nativity scene looks like. Usually, they all come with a man that probably represents Joseph. Most say, okay, where did he fit besides standing next to the manger? Usually he's got a rope in his hand and he's towing the little donkey that Mary's riding on, right? That's where he fits. But there's something about Joseph. He's just pretty much in the background. We want to bring him to the foreground today and see how his emotional just flow of things, what we see here today in Joseph's life. What we know about Mary was very little. We know even less about Joseph, but Matthew brings it up. And we have here in Matthew the genealogical record of Joseph begins in chapter 1. We have the genealogical record of Mary in the Gospel of Luke. So it's interesting. Both of them are in the line of David. And we know Joseph was the stepfather of Jesus, not the biological father of Jesus, but there are some things we want to take a look at because you and I might be so familiar with the Christmas story that we don't see certain things at an angle, a different angle. We'd like to see that today. So, Father, open our heart, help us to see not just about Joseph, but Lord, how those things can be applicable to our own lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in Matthew chapter 1, first book of the Gospels. And so when we take a look, a little bit of background that both Joseph and Mary are young. They're not 30. They're not even 40. They probably may not even be 20. That most in that day and age when they were betrothed, or as we would say engaged, that the woman would probably be 12 to 13. Then a year later, married at age 13 to 14. And the man would probably be about that same. Sometimes they could even be much older than the woman. But we see some things that are happening here with Joseph, and we pick it up in verse 18. Will you take a look at verse 18 through to the balance of chapter 1? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. It's the first mention, by the way, of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's take a look here for a moment, because Joseph's emotional just spectrum. First of all, first point on your notes, excitement. Verse 18, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Take a look at that. And it's interesting because Joseph loved Mary. Mary is a common name, kind of like Miriam. A lot of Marys in that day and age. But the interesting thing about betrothed, how many remember when you were betrothed? Probably not, because it just doesn't happen anymore. You call it engagement. But to be betrothed to somebody in that day and age was what they called a kadushin, and that was a one-year process. And it started off by the parents of these young people saying, I want to give my son or daughter to you. Let's have them enter into a contract. It's binding like a marriage contract. So with that, they would go down to the synagogue. The priest would go ahead and they'd sign their names to that contract. There would be somewhat of an endowment that would be made monetarily that would help the bride's wife and family, I should say, pay for the wedding. And if something happened that they would separate, that there'd be somewhat of an insurance policy. We're going to keep the money if you go away. So you could see here a whole year, that couple would rarely interact with each other, but there was an element of trust that was being built up. They'd somewhat get to know each other, but it is interesting that betrothal, they would enter into the huppah, that element of their marriage that would last a whole week, that wedding ceremony. And it would be a big deal. A lot going into that, a lot of expense. You just didn't have a few selected close friends of yours. Everybody in the village, maybe both families and all the villagers would come on in, like the wedding of the Canaan of Galilee. I mean, it's just like, can you imagine all of Galilee, who knows, was invited. And that's a big expense, a lot going on. So that process was amazing. We call that betrothal, we call it engagement, a little bit different today. You enter into engagement, typically, and if it works out, great. Yeah, we get married. It's that one-day event. And sometimes the engaged couples say, you know what, we're not right for each other. It's kind of like almost common that engaged couples would say we don't want to get married, and hopefully the guy gets the ring back, right? Isn't that how that is? But here, it was a big deal. If they wanted to break off this betrothal, it required a divorce. They were literally contracted as if they were married, and they called each other husbands and wife. The scripture does just that. Look at verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. They're not even married, but they are betrothed. So it's important to see that. So he's excited. He's thinking, man, marriage, I've got things set aside. I can hardly wait to begin this. It was going to be an exciting time. Who wouldn't? A whole year. I'm going to marry Mary. And so in the process, Joseph being a carpenter, we recognize that. We saw that last week. A carpenter was not just a woodworker, probably a stonemason, because most structures were made from stone, a little bit of wood, naturally furnishings, or maybe the archway. But it comes down to that. All of a sudden, point two, how about the shock? Mary was found with child. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together intimately, sexually, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting to note, no physical relationship. Can you imagine the shock? I'm excited. I'm going to get married. And news comes to him. Let's talk about what would that have looked like? When did that come to him? Because Joseph's a just man. Verse 19 says, her husband being a just man, a man of integrity. That's a big deal to God. It still is, by the way. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, God still looks at dudes and ladies. Make sure, be people of integrity. It's a value to God. But Mary was shocked too. We saw that in Mary last week. Remember that in Luke chapter 1? Remember in verse 34 when the angel Gabriel said, hey, you're highly favored, and guess what? You're going to become pregnant. How can this be, she said, since I don't know a man intimately? In other words, I really? And the shock of that is that she was so stirred by that, and that's how we've been fitting these story accounts of individuals, applying it to us. Mary said to the angel, be it unto me according to your word. Remember, we've been dealing with God speaking things to us. God speaking things to you. There's certainly a whole group of love letters here called the Scriptures. You are people of covenant. Jesus has done all his work on Calvary, resurrection, and ascension. So now, if you who believe, you've entered into a covenant with God. There are things here that are promised to you. If you don't check them out, that doesn't mean that they are non-existing. There are great promises here, and we've been looking at the life balance of grace and faith. Grace is God's action through Jesus. Come on. And your proper response is faith. I believe that. Mary said, wow, is that going to happen to me? Be it unto me according to your word. Has God spoken some things to you? Are you just kind of wishful thinking that one day it'll happen, or just kind of put it under the rug because that's bygone era, it's not going to happen to me? Come on, get with faith. Believe God. He is not the one stuck. He's already done the work for healing. He's already done the work for the miraculous because of Jesus. So now Joseph is shocked. Mary is shocked. She was so shocked that it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, once she said, be it unto me, with haste she went to Elizabeth, her cousin, who that same angel said, hey, your cousin who's called barren in her old age, she's now 6 months pregnant. And that would have been and was John the Baptist. So she with haste took off to go see Elizabeth. Who would believe her? Doesn't say that she told her mom and dad. We don't know if Mary's mom and dad were alive at that time, but she went with haste, immediately saw Elizabeth, and was there first in Luke chapter 1, verse 56, for 3 months. 3 months. And when she finally came back, I'm sure she looked pretty pregnant. And when did she tell Joseph? We're still in that shock value. I'm not sure. Imagine when she took off with haste and maybe word got to Joseph, where are you going, sweetheart? I'm going to go see my cousin Elizabeth. Why? Well, just pray for me. And then when she comes back, I'm pregnant. Can you imagine? They're betrothed to each other. She shows up pregnant. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a shock like that of some magnitude. Many times we just deal with that in community, right? Somebody has the dream job. We're going to retire with great expectations. What a severance I'm going to have. What a lifestyle will exist, and then they give you the pink slip and you're out. It's a shock. Or all of a sudden you realize, man, life's going good, and then the doctors discover a spot on your lung. Those are shocking times for a person. Things that happen, you just work it through and realize from excitement to shock, and Joseph's definitely going on there. And remember, he's a carpenter. I don't know what kind of the trade looked like in that day, but if you hang out with carpenters and you ever watch them on a job site, it can be a little bit tough. Maybe his carpenter buddies, when they found out that Mary had a out-of-wedlock pregnancy, maybe his buddies added to the mix and say, what? Give her up. Man, she's a loser. Can you imagine the challenge Joseph is facing here in the relationship? So, number three, how about bewilderment? All of a sudden, there's something that's happening here. You look at verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, verse 19, not wanting to make her a public example. What's interesting to note here, because he's a man of integrity, he really has three options. Option number one, he just exposes her. I'm not going to take the rap for this. Something's going on. I don't know if you ever, when you get into shock and bewilderment, have you ever just had somebody that I thought you were my friend. It's like, well, I'm not taking the rap for this. I'm going to go talk to everybody I know. Come, what a friend is that? Could have taken it to the chief priest, exposed her, brought shame to her. That's one option. The other one, could have divorced her privately. That's where he's leaning. That's what the scripture says. Not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, divorce was in the process of his mind. It would require two signatures. Third thing he could have done was just married her. Stick with the commitment, even though it's not his baby. Wow. And probably a fourth option, not in that day, but today, you just get an abortion. But because life was precious in that day, that was not an option. But Joseph decided to divorce her privately. He's leaning in that direction. He's a just and merciful man. He's not wanting to expose her. But he realized, this is not what I was signed up for. Take a look at number four, fear, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Now, I like that title. Isn't that cool? Son of David. Kind of like Paul, son of Harmon. Yeah. What a cool way to have an intro. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Angel shows up, and it's interesting. He's being encouraged to take courage, take commitment, go through with the marriage. That's what this angel is wanting to tell him. Don't divorce her. Stick with it. He's making a decision, and the angel is trying to help him. Now, I don't know, when that angel says, do not be afraid, in the Greek, it literally means stop that fearful action going on. You don't tell somebody stop being fearful if they were not fearful. So I don't know if you've ever had fear while you're trying to sleep. Think about that for a moment. Sometimes, somewhere, somehow, it should be in the pattern of a Christian, say, I'm going to get the word of God out because I am so trafficked in fear. I need the word of God. Do not be afraid. So we see some things that are happening here, and in that process, that angel appears to him in a dream. Now, we all dream. Isn't that true? We all dream. Matter of fact, statistics say everybody dreams. Your pet dog. I've noticed our pet dog will bark in its sleep. Have you? It's like, oh, that dog's suffering. Roar, roar, roar. No, it's just dreaming about the mailman going for his cuff. Isn't that true? Have you ever seen your dog bark in the middle of its sleep? Yeah, dogs dream. I'm sure your pet goldfish dreams. They just sit there in la-la land. There's a top 10, if you ever Google what it is, what do people dream? The top three, just throw it out there since you're so interested. Number one is people, they dream falling. You're just falling. The other one is that they are being chased by someone. And the third is that they come along and they're being cornered or shackled. Interesting. Yuck. I don't like any one of those. But an angel visitation, I don't know if I'd like that one either. And Joseph has it going on here. But he's fearful because he's thinking, what will people say? That's what he's fearful of. If I marry her, what will people say? If I divorce her, what will people say? What will the relatives say? What's going to become of Mary? Those kinds of things grip a person's heart regardless. Our actions affect other people. Now, if I got to take one on the chin for what I've done and silly moves I make, yeah, I can take it. But if, man, what I do, what others do, it's a weighty matter to be a pastor of a church. I don't know if you ever recognize that and say, man, Paul, you got a lot of, you got a lot of lines on your face. And I tell you, those are laugh lines. Anyway, back to the text. It can be that element where he's so worried. And number five, he resolves himself. It says here, as we go forward in verse 21, but check out verse 24. In verse 21, and she will bring forth, the angel says, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did. Can you see that? Did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. That's an amazing man. Did what was commanded him by the angel. That spectrum of emotions taking. He woke up, he obeyed, he got married as soon as possible. I'm sure it would have been amazed. She's 3 months pregnant, maybe more. And said, Rabbi, we're going to just get married now. That'd have been quite a talk. Facing those situations, he made a lifelong commitment. Have you ever had to make lifelong commitments? He did not know her till she brought forth the son. Man, that's one stellar dude. But a lifelong commitment is so difficult for people. That's why some people don't come to Jesus. It's going to require something of a lifelong commitment. That's why some people don't get married. I remember when I asked Ainsley to marry me. We were up at Camp Cedar Crest. We're up on the hills on the fire road. Honey, will you marry me? I called her Ainsley, but I actually called her Anne. But will you marry me? She said, yes. I was so excited and shocked, just like that. And she literally said, Paul, what's wrong? This wave of commitment brought a, I don't want to say concern, it was literally fear. What did I just agree to? I didn't ask her dad or her mom. I just want to make sure she's on my side before I approach her dad, who's always was a scary looking guy. But I remember the fear of commitment. This guy had it going on. He faced it. You'll have to face some things too. And fear might cause you to say, I'm not in this. And I don't want to have God too much because it's going to require commitment. On our wedding day, it kind of broke loose. I remember we were married at Westminster Four Square Church, just off beach, just south of 22 Freeway. Here I was on the platform with all the cool, you know, man, my ushers and maid of honor there. Everybody's supporting me. And there's Ainsley at the end of the aisle with her dad. And then Ainsley selected, and they started playing the Letterman song, When I Fall in Love. Anybody know that? It's a great one. I won't sing it to you. I never get asked for solos in this church. I understand. It's a great song. It'll be forever. I said, man, I'm all in. Because I was not feeling it at first. It takes a commitment. So I looked at the commitment of what it requires. And I didn't let my rented tuxedo affect me, or my plastic black shoes that were half a size too small affect me. I'm going to get married. You know, God wants you to be fully committed to Him too. Life has excitements. You come across shocks. It doesn't quite work in the way you anticipate. But will you resolve in your heart, I will obey the Lord regardless. In this occasion, I certainly want to pray for you. It's interesting because Joseph had to flee his environment and leave Nazareth because the baby's life was at stake. And they fled for 2 years to Egypt. So it took and how we just sometimes need a fresh word that says, don't fear, follow through with that commitment. Don't worry. That thing that I birthed by my word in you will bring forth life. Do not fear. Go ahead and proceed the way that you and I talked. So, Lord, we want to thank you for men of integrity. Matter of fact, we pray for our men of our church and men who are here, our guests and those who are watching via live stream. Lord, help these men, great men, be it stepfathers or foster fathers, or just encourage these fathers, because so much rests upon even future fathers. What does that look like to be responsible for more than just myself? Lord, come by your grace. Come by your power. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. I'm going to pray for you again. Let's sing this song as we just bring this service to a conclusion.
You open up my eyes in wonder. is done beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Your goodness. Because first of all, we recognize families do better when God is in the center. So Lord, this season of our lives, however long that lasts, not just the holidays, but however long our life lasts, we want to place you in the center of our lives. We do know some of the more challenging or difficult decisions, though it's the right one, can lead us in paths that can be challenging, but it's the right path. And I just pray for those that are having to make right decisions, often the hardest decisions, but will bring long-lasting outcomes with great peace. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. And that, Lord, even as we stand in your presence, that, Lord, we make that decision. We just incorporate you in everything that we do once again. Build our faith, Lord, as we choose to trust you in every situation. When you speak a word, we want to follow you. And for some of us that have dropped the decision to follow you fully because it was going to be too much of a commitment or we'd have to compromise, and Lord, we're back in the game. To follow you. No fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you, if you are able to, our life group leaders, to come forward. I want to thank you for coming this morning. We're so grateful that you did. If you're needing prayer and you just want someone else to agree with you in prayer or to trust with you something that you're believing, don't leave home without prayer. How's that? The rest of you, 6 o'clock tonight, that's our Christmas party. Just have fun with us. See what God's going to do. Zach and Karis have a great program planned for you. So with that in mind, Lord, bless and protect and prosper your people in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're needing prayer, please go get your children first and come on back for prayer. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.